Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Really do wish I could take you tonight.
Take me now.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 4, Episode 21, Addicted to Love. And now, here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D for the Love.
Hi,
Tara and Dave.
Shirts, ads, Earls. Let's do it.
Yeah, you guys know. Let's start with this is our third record of the day. We are, as predicted, getting punchy. We've been trying to do this for 2.5 hours.
Also, guess who smells worse than Buncey? No one.
Okay.
Prediction. Yeah. Okay. So let's start with our D story. Steve ruins a dorm room. So Steve finds Andrea in the student union. She's not sure it's a good idea for him to take over her dorm room, which, as you will recall from our last episode, was something that Brandon had proposed. He promises her that he's not going to turn it into a keg flop house. They negotiate, and when he tells her that he's becoming very Brandon-esque, aim higher, bro, she relents, and Steve is happy. Clip number two.
Thanks, Mom.
Ugh, don't call it out. We all know she's the mom of the group, but that's just mean. Anyway.
Yeah.
Steve is then looking at a Playboy in Andrea's room with Anna Nicole Smith on the cover. So that's your time travel Aww. Porn moment. You can see it in the visual aids. When Kathy, the RA, comes in wearing her giant jeans, which are also in the visual aids, she warns Steve to act right. It is boring. Moving on to our C story. The Beach Gang reunited. David has moved back into the apartment with Donna. David can tell Donna's nervous around him and tries to relax her. He tells her that his therapist has told him to find activities to keep his hands occupied, which she, of course, thinks is a prelude to his artlessly hitting on her, but he's actually thinking of renting a piano. Random. For some reason, he thinks piano music is going to bring the two of them back together, but wisely, Donna is now wary of taking him back as her boyfriend. He tells her he was lonely without her. She was too. And then Kelly is meeting David at a piano store, and he tells her about renting a piano and says he wants to get back into his music. Great. He also says he appreciates what she did and that he wishes she would move back into the apartment. And then Donna and David have everyone over for a barbecue / piano warming party. Kelly says she will move back in. What?
Just nothing.
Okay.
I just, like, people, the number of like awkward functions that these people go to without drinking is amazing.
It's true. Like,
guys, like a piano warming, will there be bourbon?
And then, as we all remember from when it originally aired, Donna and David duet on the one song even total piano neophytes can learn. Heart and Soul. Play it, Dave, in clip number three. Even Heart and Soul you can't pay for, you fucking cheapskates. That's not Heart and
Soul.
Why
do you even have to? Did some genius look at Happy Birthday and be like, oh shit, I gotta trademark Heart and Soul. I'll make a mint. A mint, I tells ya.
Yeah, it's terrible. And that's that storyline, basically. Did you have anything to add before we move on?
No, just that it's not as terrible and empty of time spent value as our B story.
Couldn't they just use, like, you know, that's probably public domain, play chopsticks.
At first I thought
they have
that
to call it chapstocks
with their toes.
in the video.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on to our B story, Brenda and Stuart's bogus journey. Let me check in with Brenda. She's checking out how her skinny shoulders and pointy collarbone look in, what else, a black strappy dress. You can see this in the visual aids. Stuart is taking her to Palm Springs. She's back to wearing his ring, but on her right hand, because Stuart insisted that she keep it, she says. And the next morning, Stuart comes to pick her up, Brenda, for their trip, and she has to make it gross in clip number 4.
Good morning, ma'am. Could I interest you in purchasing a vacuum cleaner?
No.
I don't know. Why don't you come in and show me how it works?
They kiss.
Excellent suction.
Gross.
No.
Also, that's your brother's gig and we all know it.
Looks like I need to replace your bag.
Oh.
How many attachments does he come with? Okay, sorry.
Let me handle, okay.
Something about a hose.
I
anyway.
I always wanted to marry into the Kenmore family. What?
There's some talk.
Dyson, I hardly even know him.
There's some talk about a presentation that Stuart is getting ready to make to his dad, about which Jim is encouraging, so remember that. On the drive, Brenda and Stuart are playing the license plate game. This relationship is scorching. His competitive at this segues to a discussion of the bad traits he picked up from his bossy father. He thought he and Brenda would do something special on the way to the hotel. He bought camping equipment. She's... What?
I'm sorry. Just, all right. Dan and I play 20 questions when we're on the road, which I guess is not all that scorching, but I was just remembering the last most recent round that we played where he was guessing and my thing was a fart and he did not guess it and he was mad. Because he felt that it was not a thing. And I was like, well, it's not a place. There was actually an argument, hashtag marriage. Anyway, there was actually like kind of a not totally joking argument about whether it was legal to use farts as your thing in 20 questions.
Perhaps like New York and Billy Joel, a fart is a state of mind.
No, of course a fart is a thing. What else would it be?
Yeah.
I don't know. Some of mine are, I think, sentient, so I guess it could be a person. I don't know. I ate a lot of cheese. Anyway, moving on. I'm sorry, I'm dehydrated.
No, I understand. Last time I played 20 questions, I believe it was with my sister Leah, and her thing was that I was trying to guess was a nose hair. So I think there's precedent for picking something gross. Anyway, Stuart thought they would do something special on the way to the hotel. He bought camping equipment. Brenda is dubious since she is not dressed for it, but he convinces her. Bad move, Brenda. Stuart pulls up at a brown patch of ground far away from civilization so that they can watch the sunset. She goes to get her sweater from the car, and no sooner has she locked it than she notices that the keys are still in the ignition. Uh-oh. Clip number 5.
Oh, God, Stuart, I am so sorry.
How could you do that? What were you thinking? Someone was going to steal it?
It was force of habit. Here, my hand's smaller. Let me
Excuse
try.
Me. I know what I'm doing, okay? Oh, great, it's stuck.
Here, pull.
Will you stop? It's just making it worse.
There, better?
No. How could it be better? We're still here, aren't we?
Why did you leave the keys in the ignition? Like, why would anyone ever do that? That's point the first.
Point the second, we get it. This out of left field character development in which he's a cock will contrive to break them up.
Yep.
Roger that. And yet, we're not even close to done with this.
So much more. After dark, Brenda is trying to make the best of things by pointing at the stars, but Stuart is still pissy and freezing cold, and all the camping shit is in the locked car. A dude pulls up in a truck, offering them a ride to a motel down the road. Stuart initially doesn't want to leave his car, but changes his mind, but maybe regrets it when they have to ride in the back with the chickens, which I made a gif of, because so many extra feathers fly up in the air. Har, har. Stuart and Brenda then let themselves into a motel that's supposed to be unimaginably shitty, but is actually about a C-. I would say. Stuart bitches about it, but when Brenda tells him that he could just call Larry at the resort in Palm Springs and have him send a car, Stuart flatly refuses. To her credit, Brenda doesn't push it like I would. Stuart is still refusing to accept the reality they're dealing with or accept her apologies, and he's so determined to be mad that he sleeps in the chair instead of the twin bed and covers himself with the jizzy bedspread as he deserves.
Thank you. I couldn't even watch that. I had to like turn away and listen so to gross. The scene ending because
yeah. You can see it in the visual aids. And the next morning, they come back to the car and it's been vandalized because that's what happens to abandoned cars on this show. How any ruffians chanced upon it when they were in the middle of fucking nowhere.
It was Barb.
Is a real mystery. It's not like they were parked outside a rave. But anyway, Stuart is furious in clip number six.
Barb has her ways.
Look at this thing. My dad is going to kill me. I knew I shouldn't have listened to you. Great. Beautiful. I knew I should have stayed with this car, but hey, what do I know, right?
Stuart.
Oh, right. Ha ha. I can't wait to laugh about this someday.
Dave is curiously silent because he knows I'm Stuart.
I wasn't really paying attention, sorry.
But I am. Anyway, Brenda and Stuart then make it to the resort.
Dan and I are both Stuart, so I don't know. Yeah.
They make it to the resort. A cowed Stuart immediately apologizes for his lateness, but Larry seizes the opportunity to needle his idiot child in clip number seven.
You know, son, as hard as I try, I can never understand you. You were the one who insisted on having a meeting this morning, to announce that you have something important to tell me. Then you don't even have the decency to show up on time.
Dad, it couldn't be helped. We had a problem with the car.
Let me tell you something. If I had a meeting with my boss, I wouldn't let anything get in the way of it.
Yes.
It wasn't my fault. Oh? And whose fault was it?
We made a stop in the middle of nowhere, and Brenda was cold, so she went back to the car to get her sweater, and she locked the keys inside. Tell him, Bren.
Did it ever occur to you that you could be a gentleman and get the sweater for her? Or would that have required too much effort? I don't even know why I bother with you anymore.
Neither do I.
Brenda.
No, I don't know why I bother with either one of you. Why don't you ever give your son half a chance? You know, he wouldn't be such an idiot if he wasn't constantly trying to prove himself to you.
Brenda, will you please let me take care of this?
Oh, make no mistake, Stuart. You are an idiot. I can't believe I thought this weekend would be the beginning of anything. I can't believe I kept your damn ring. Here, take it. I don't even want it.
She throws it into the pool.
Brenda, wait.
Are you going to get the ring, or are you going to leave it there as a tourist attraction?
All right, Larry is a dick, but he has a point. Like, Stuart could have, if he had a presentation the next morning, when he got to the motel, take a cab from there to Palm Springs. Like, wherever they were, how far is LA from Palm Springs? It's like less than a 3-hour drive, right, Dave?
Palm Springs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that far. And if he was supposed to get up in the morning, just go and, like, be where you're supposed to be and worry about the car later. Like, this is, he's your dad, but he's your mean, needling dad. Also, he's your boss. So get your shit together. Like, you don't just miss a presentation. God.
I agree. And don't just leave a rock that size in the pool. I don't know.
Yeah.
Finders keepers. Sorry.
Yeah. Get your shit together, Stuart, is the point. But, you know, we'll never see him again. Though, Brenda.
Yay!
Brenda then finds a payphone and calls Dylan's, hoping that Kelly will be able to come and get her. Get your own ride, adult. Take a cab. As we said, it's less than 3 hours. But, of course, Dylan has nothing better to do than drive all the way to Palm Springs and back because it's Brenda. And in the car, Brenda thanks Dylan for rescuing her. He guesses that she doesn't want to talk about what happened, but, of course, she does in clip number eight.
It was going to be a romantic weekend with Stuart. I ended up seeing a side of him I had never seen before. Remember when we went to Baja and I made that little mistake?
Little mistake, Bren. You lost your passport. We were stuck at the border for 3 hours.
But no matter how bad things got, you were so understanding. We were able to put it behind us, even laugh about it. We ended up having a great time.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
Stuart can't do that. I goofed and he just couldn't let it go. It's got pretty ugly. It's definitely over between us. Why is it that I can't keep any relationship going since I broke up with you?
I guess you just gotta find the right guy.
Well, I had the right guy. Then I lost her. I've never really gotten over you, Dylan. How can I fall in love with someone else when I'm still in love with you?
Bren.
I know.
It's not that I don't love you.
It's just that you're not in love with me. Maybe I'm just feeling sorry for myself over the Stuart thing. I'm really glad we're still friends.
So am I.
Very convincing, Jones. Also, you can't keep any relationship going. You're like 19.
Yeah.
39.
This is also the second guy that she's dated since breaking up with Dylan, if we don't count Seth Green and his friend. So, like, it was him and Reek. Like, that's it, right? Those are the only guys that she's seen.
I think so.
Yeah. Whatever, Brenda. Moving on, speaking of whatever, to our A story.
Jesus.
Kelly the Beard. So Brandon is still fucking Lucinda. And when we first see them here, she's walking in on him in the shower. He is so much shorter than she is. You can see this in the visual aids. Also, not that there's anything wrong with his body, but he is way flabbier than would be allowed on TV today. Like, if someone with this physique was on Arrow, he would get laughed out of the place. Like, it just would not happen. You can see that in the visual aids, too. Then they do this whole performance where she ministers to him, like, tying his tie and then getting down on the floor to tie his shoes like a gender flip secretary. This is not. But the point is, Lucinda's horny for Brandon. He's going to a big task force barf dinner. He wishes he could bring her as his date, but they both agree that would be a bad idea politically. However, she reminds us that she's going for that grant for her film and that if she gets it, she doesn't have to worry about public appearances anymore. And then they fuck at the dinner. The dean rescues Brandon from a couple of old bags, one of whom is Jerry Seinfeld's grandma from Seinfeld. The dean reminds him that he had a plus one, which Brandon deflects. The dean then brings Brandon over to introduce him to Josh Richland, but of course they have already met. Josh is there with this mousy date and his black t-shirt under a blazer look and immediately gets weirdly nosy in clip number 9.
So, who are you here with?
Flying solo.
Handsome guy like you. Who'd have thunk it?
What's it to you, Josh?
Hey, your big news around the Condor. Gotta hand it to you, Walsh.
I've never seen a freshman move up the fast track like you. You're the original boy wonder.
Yeah, well, like they say, stuff happens.
That's why I'm going to be doing the feature story on you myself. I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to be interviewing some of your teachers and friends, etc., just to get a better insight into the great man.
Yeah, well, you can lay off the great man angle. I'm just a student trying to make a little noise, that's all.
Ah, that's what you do so well.
What are you after, Richland?
The truth. No one can be as perfect as you. Well, see you in the papers.
This storyline is so stupid and it just gets dumber. Let me start by saying, what the fuck would be the point of muckraking a college freshman? He's not fucking Justin Bieber. Like, who cares?
Yeah, I mean, also, it's a task force. Who cares?
Yeah.
Also, his teachers. Who cares?
Uh-huh.
Also, you don't announce to the subject that you'll be interviewing friends of his as sources for the story. That's not how journalisming works.
No.
Also, who cares?
Who cares?
Who cares?
There's so much more who cares to come. So Brandon comes home from dinner, makes his first mention of the famous Chancellor Arnold. Cindy asks if he's going out later since she noticed that he didn't park in the garage. And he lies that he thought he might go over to Steve's later. Mm-hmm. Brandon then goes up to bore Brenda about how political the task force is in clip number 10.
Well, I gotta tell you, I love being on the task force, but I had no idea how political it was gonna be.
Political?
Well, how effective you are seems to be based entirely on how you're perceived. It's all about appearances. Believe me, if you weren't going away this weekend, I'd be taking you to the Chancellor's luncheon.
Why don't you take a date?
Yeah, right. Like who?
Brandon, come on. I know that you're seeing someone. You can't fool me. Who is she?
I'll tell you what. If it becomes serious, you'll be the first to know.
Love scene. Love theme of Lucinda Nicholson. Who cares?
Who cares?
Speaking of people Brandon might bring to future task force events, all the women he knows are in Lucinda's class listening to her extremely trite lecture in clip number 11.
Well, if monogamy is rejected in some cultures, how do these women have any power?
It's a good question, Kelly. They do and they don't. Among the tribes of Southern Africa that practice polygamy, a man will choose several wives. He'll have a bright wife, another who cooks, another who can do errands. But only his bedmate will be his equal.
Well, does that mean sex gives women power?
Historically, it's been proven. For example, the Trojan War fought for the love of Helen of Troy.
So you do admit that love is important?
Sorry, I meant desire. Not that I don't believe in love.
No, but what you are saying is that sex is a power that women shouldn't be ashamed of.
Well put, Kelly.
This is so...
No, that's not what she said. It's not what anyone... Okay. Also, Helen of Troy is fictional.
Yeah.
Professor.
Not historical. Anyway, after class, Donna wonders if she's in the wrong class since, according to her, Lucinda is so extreme. Kelly then goes back into Lucinda's classroom to get one of Andrea's books just in time for Lucinda to get bad news about a grant application that I guess she put in her bag without opening it, as if. Anyway, she's struck out again. Kelly thinks that Lucinda is brilliant based on nothing and is excited to learn that Lucinda has a half-finished film. She asks her to go get coffee and talk about it at the Peach Pit, where else, which Kelly is already comfortable calling my boyfriend's restaurant. Because of course she is. At said Peach Pit, Nat and Dylan review the books, Nat noting that the place ran well without him. Dylan says that Suzanne knows what she's doing. Indeed. Kelly comes in with Lucinda and introduces her to Dylan. Lucinda immediately starts pitching in clip 12.
Seriously though, Lucinda, the fieldwork you did in Guatemala sounds incredible. What was the name of the tribe you lived with, the Ixtu?
The Ixtupaca.
Yeah, she filmed them for her thesis.
Really?
That's part of a documentary I've been working on. It compares the roles of women in different tribal societies with the role of women in contemporary America.
Well, that must be some contrast.
Well, not the way you think. The strange thing is, it seems the more civilized a society, the less they seem to value their women.
It's a movie I'd like to see.
So would I. But she hasn't been able to get the money to finish the rest of her film.
Yeah, so I just keep writing grant proposal after grant proposal.
Subtle. But it works. Dylan would like to take a look at her proposal, and Lucinda preens, but puts a lid on it.
As it were, while he's working Shadowcaster.
She puts a lid on it when she sees Brandon come in, and Nat, of course, sticks his nose in and unwittingly restarts the Dylan-Brandon feud in clip 13.
Gotta tell me one thing. Who's the babe sitting with Dylan and Kelly?
Oh, that babe just happens to be an anthropology teacher. Isn't that right, Brandon?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, from the conversation, I thought she was one of those movie directors. You know, the kind that is always looking for financing.
Well, if that's what she's doing with Dylan, she's certainly found some deep pockets.
Uh-oh. Brandon is jealous again of all the Dylan's money.
Yes. You know who I'm jealous of? Whoever had the power to yell cut, because that act out lasted a week.
It did. And then Josh is interviewing a fawning Andrea about Brandon in clip 14.
Oh, barf.
If I had to use one word to sum him up, I'd have to say decent. Brandon is the most decent guy I know. He's considerate, caring, passionate about the things he believes in. He's the best.
Sounds like you have a little crush on him, Zuckerman. This baby you're carrying isn't his by any chance, is it?
Look, if you want dirt on Brandon, you're gonna have to bring your own.
Just relax. I'm thrilled for him, okay? If there's one thing the task force needs, it's talent. And he's got it.
Not to mention integrity. You know how to spell integrity, don't you?
I mean, I know Josh is supposed to be a cartoon, but suggesting that Brandon is the father of Andrea's baby is really not showing a lot of journalistic objectivity, dude.
No.
Also gross. Steve comes in as Josh is wrapping up and helps in classic Steve style, offering an interview and leading off with how Brandon interfered in Ballgate. Shut up, Steve. Then Lucinda is doing leg presses at the gym when she looks over and sees Deshaun refusing to tell Josh anything about Brandon in clip 15.
I can't help you with that, man. He was just my tutor. I hardly know him, you understand?
Yeah, I'm trying to, but what doesn't make sense is if everything was so cool, as you say, why did Randall refuse to talk to me?
Beats me.
You know Randall just separated from his wife?
All I know is I got 200 more reps to do on my knees so I can stay with my therapy program.
Yeah, all right, so what about Brandon's girlfriend? Does he have any? Walsh! What a coincidence.
You're wrong again. He comes in all the time to help. He cares.
Yeah, he cares.
That's himself.
What we're always saying. Caring Brandon is.
Yeah. Mm. You know who doesn't care? Anyone else.
Nope.
No one cares.
Brandon and Josh snipe at each other, in the course of which Josh reveals that he talked to Steve. But after he leaves, Deshaun warns Brandon that Josh has an in for him and is sniffing around the story of Brandon and Lucinda. Brandon smoothly lies that he and Lucinda are no longer speaking, which she sells by walking straight past Brandon like he doesn't exist. And Deshaun is convinced Brandon is scum. Brandon comes in to see Lucinda in her office to fuck. Just to review, today she taught a class, had coffee off campus, came back to school to work out, then had office hours. She is bad at time management and probably spending a fortune on parking. She asks him why Josh was talking to Deshaun, and they have this exchange in clip 16.
What do you think? Snooping around trying to find out whether I have a girlfriend or not.
What do you think? Why would she guess that? Why would anyone think Josh or anyone would care about that? Because
you are a freshman on a task force that even actual task forcers would not care this much about.
Nope.
Nor would they be this fascinated in whether or not you have a girlfriend. Like, I just don't understand why he has to have a plus one.
Yeah.
No one cares.
But the conversation goes on. In clip 17.
Oh.
Do you?
I think so. Only she's much too beautiful to take outside closed doors.
Well, maybe you should find yourself a public girlfriend. A beard to go with your beard.
Lucinda, do better. You know you can. You know you can. But then Brandon has to try to ruin a great thing by what else? Being a bitch in clip 18.
You're certainly in a chipper mood. Did you enjoy your lunch with Dylan and Kelly?
Immensely. It seems like he might be interested in funding my film.
I thought you had the NEA for that.
No, I don't. I passed.
I'm sorry.
Me too. Does Dylan really have that much money?
And then some. Who knows? Maybe you could become his newest philanthropy.
Well, one thing's for sure. His girlfriend, Kelly, is terrific.
No argument there.
You know, if you needed someone to go to the Chancellor's with you on Saturday, she'd be ideal.
I don't think she'd want to go.
Oh, but she'd jump at the chance to hang with the upper echelon. Unless you're worried Dylan might not approve.
No, Dylan's pretty open-minded. Yeah, it might work.
So
it's a luncheon on Saturday for a task force. No.
Yeah, when do they actually meet? Like,
cares?
It seems like all it is like teas and parties and barbecues and square dances and shit. Like, aren't you supposed to be accomplishing something? Whatever. Then Lucinda sees someone walking by in the hall and gets super horny again, of course. Brandon then shows up at Dylan's just in time for dinner. Kelly braggingly says it's pasta, like that's hard, but Dylan is piggishly proud in clip 19.
Wow, my girlfriend. I think I'll keep her.
I think he's missed a few chapters in my power feminism books.
Josh has not talked to Kelly yet, but everyone else has been raving about Brandon to him. Dylan has a hilariously suspicious face at whatever's coming next. You can see in the visual aids because of Gifted. Brandon explains about his need for a beard, ending thus in clip 20.
What do you say? What do you say? Do you want to borrow my girlfriend? Oh, I don't know, Brandon. I mean, a girlfriend's kind of like a surfboard. It's not really the type of thing you want to loan out, you know what I'm saying?
I don't get you. One minute he's trying to persuade me to move out, and the next minute he's trying to lock me in.
I'm just teasing, Kel.
good, because I'd love to go. I always wanted to meet the Chancellor. Did you know he won a Nobel Prize?
Yes, I did. Listen, guys, maybe this just isn't right. If it's too weird for you, bro, I totally understand.
I don't know, man. Since she's been under Lucinda Nicholson's spell, nothing is too weird for her.
Stop it, Dylan. You like her and you know it.
I don't know about that. I think she certainly is a liberating example for you young ladies to look up to. Okay. You want to take her out as an escort for the evening? Fine. Just bring her back without any dings.
I don't know where to start with how problematic that clip is. It's like from top to bottom, everything everyone says is horrible. Starting with Brandon says to Kelly, "What do you think?" And then before she can answer, turns to Dylan and says, "What do you think?" Like, you're asking her. He's not part of this. What the fuck?
Well, and also, it's a luncheon, despite the fact that, as we will see in the visual aids, everyone is dressed like they're at the fucking races at Ascot.
Yes.
Within which is a royal wedding.
Uh-huh.
It's just a fucking bullshitty networking luncheon for a university chancellor who, as we will also see, is a gigantic nerdlinger.
Yep.
And no one cares. Like, you would never have to bring a date to this. And even if you did, nobody would be like, so are you, like, it's not like trying to get your green card and convince people that you're actually married. No one cares.
Right.
And if they did care, they would be way less sexist and retrograde and acting like marital rape is still legal era. Yeah. Like, just bring her back without any dings. And she's like, tee-hee, because I'm pretty and that's my value. Fuck off, all of you. And also, no one cares. But if I did, fuck off.
For sure, no one cares. But, like, why this is even a story is, obviously, the reason is to put these two together. Spoiler alert. But, like, this isn't Far From Heaven, and he's not a closeted salesman trying to get ahead in business. Like, there's no reason that he would need to bring a date to this. And maybe the reason that he hasn't brought a date to this point is, like, A, he doesn't have a girlfriend, which officially he doesn't, and B, he doesn't know anyone who wants to go to these boring affairs full of fucking old bags, like Jerry Seinfeld's grandma from Seinfeld. There's still so much more to go. God.
See, he just, like, he has not met anyone outside his own group except Lucinda and Deshaun.
Yeah.
Because he's a barely second semester fresh man who lives off campus at home with his parents.
Yeah. Who cares? Like, it's not like he's a sports star.
I don't care.
He has no stature. Like, there's nothing about this makes sense. Anyway, God, on his way to the event the next day, Brandon stops by to see Lucinda and her tight rolled jeans, which you can see in the visual aids because it was the 90s. She warns him flirtfully that he shouldn't come over without calling because she might have had a colleague there, but she's reworking her grant proposal, and he sits at the computer and starts typing, never explained whatever he's typing on her proposal. Like, mind your own business. Anyway, in case you forgot, Brandon has simmering issues with Dylan in clip 21.
Just feels so strange getting all this together for a student to review. Kelly says Dylan's really serious.
Well, backing a film would certainly fill a void in Dylan's financial empire.
Well, there's that tone again. I thought you guys were friends.
We are friends.
Sounds more like competitors.
Just so long as we're not competing for you.
So that's what this is about. You're jealous.
No, I am not jealous. I'd just like to be able to take you out for a mega burger sometime without having to sit at separate booths.
Well, be careful what you wish for. You might get it.
Can't you just go out for some delicious cumin? There are plenty of restaurants in Los Angeles. There's also takeout. There's also shutting the fuck up and killing yourself because no one cares.
Anywhere else you would go, you're not going to run into anyone you know because the only place they ever eat is the Peach Pit. So figure it out. God. Anyway, Kelly is super nervous at the party where they almost immediately run into the Yenta E. Dean in clip 22.
Oh, God.
Dean Trimble, this is Kelly Taylor.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
Likewise. I was getting worried Brandon didn't know the value of an actor's social life.
What?
Were you? Because you are the worst at Dean, seriously. I was beginning to worry that this freshman who was on a task force that doesn't even have a name didn't know how to fuck. What? Don't you have other shit to do?
Yeah.
It's a state university. It's huge. Ugh.
And then Brandon possessively throws his arm around Kelly just in time to pass a shocked Josh Richland and his equally shocked mousy beard girlfriend of his own. And there's a gif in the visual aids. We haven't even met the chancellor yet before we see that Kelly has been completely monopolizing his time. And Dean Trimble rules that she is definitely an asset. Why he needs an asset, we still don't fucking know. God. Anyway, afterwards, Kelly can't believe that she talked to a Nobel Prize winner. Brandon, thanks for coming. She agrees that they make a great team and then sets the end of season 4 storyline in motion for real in clip 23.
Whoever said all the good ones were taken obviously never met you. You've got to be the best catch on campus.
Change schools. Your school is bullshit if he's the best
what
you can do.
What campus? The fucking prison system? Like, tiny fish in a small pond? I don't... why?
No.
Like, here are my notes verbatim. Why is it so important for Brandon to have a GF? Why is this task force luncheon more fancy than a wedding? Why is everyone blowing so much sunshine up Brandon's ass? All caps. I hate this fucking episode and I wish I were dead.
We're so close to being done, Sarah. Brandon and Kelly have a meaningful pause, capital M, capital P, before remembering that they're not really a couple and maybe have somewhere to go. And maybe sooner than we think, because at David and Donna's thing, no one knows where Dylan is. And when he enters with Brenda and goes to kiss Kelly, she totally cheeks him. And you can see this in the visual aids because it's cold. And then they have this exchange in our final clip.
So, did you have a good time with the chancellors?
It was great. So, is this why you're so anxious for me to move out?
Yeah, right.
I want you to get some food. I'm sure you're hungry from your long ride.
I tell you what, Brian, if you ever feel the need to borrow her again, feel free.
Music's making me insane.
Yeah. Also, worst boyfriend ever.
Yeah.
Also, there is literally an endless stare.
Yes.
After this.
I gift that too. Endless. And you can see it. I mean, it's only half as long as it actually is because they have to stare at each other like they are both totes considering fucking forever. The end.
Yeah. I am really tempted to like upload or download that gif and insert the little intermission sign from the Mr. Robot premiere and then put it back up because yeah, it's long. It's like the right stuff long.
Let's wrap it up, Sarah. With our MVP, I'm gonna say the MVP of this episode is, oh god, so hard.
Deshaun.
Yeah, Deshaun.
I mean,
just, it's too bad that he has to corroborate Brandon's total lie because Brandon is a bad person for making him do that, really, but he doesn't know, and you know, he's a good person.
Well, and he was like a little better at handling Richland. Like, did it occur to none of them that they couldn't just be like,
no,
Brandon's great, end of comment,
bye. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, they're all dumb. Least valuable player. Dean Trimble, keep your stay out of Brandon's business.
I also had Dean Trimble, son. No, like, please to get a job somewhere else and take Brandon with you. You can form a task force.
Let's do the Moo Moo Parker challenge. 5 ways from this episode Brandon might have ended up dead. Fucked to death by Lucinda because she wants it constantly, apparently.
Drowned in a puddle of his friend's collective drool.
Scorned murderously by Josh Richland and his mousy date.
Hugged too enthusiastically by Dean Trimble, causing a broken rib that punctures his lung.
He brings Kelly back with a ding and Dylan murders him.
Why should I take a back seat? Because I'm a girl?
You shouldn't. It's time for our excerpt from the I Hate Brenda book, Shannon Doherty Exposed. This is still the chapter about media coverage of Shannon.
I don't know how you're going to top that last one.
I don't either. What, sodomized on the front lawn or the girl died the week later?
Oh, the
both
girl
of them
dying.
Were bad.
Yeah.
Is there any foofus?
No. Yet, she aspires to become a serious actress, her behavior both on and off the set has served to alienate millions of her young fans. And her recent refusals to interview with teen fan magazines hasn't helped much either. I won't do those stupid interviews with questions like, what's your favorite color? Do you have a boyfriend? I just don't feel it's going to help with my career. Young teen celebrities like Alyssa Milano and Kirk Cameron do all the teen magazines. But if you ever want a serious acting career, if you want to be Meryl Streep, nobody is going to take you seriously. She may have taken the point too seriously when she began to ponder the possibility of a Playboy pictorial. You know, just like Meryl Streep did. Secondary to the dazzle of dollars, her first considerations seem to be a declaration of adulthood. It might make people say, hey, she's not Brenda Walsh. She is Shannon Doherty, Shannon revealed to Entertainment Weekly. She can play a lot older than 17 in high school. Graduating to the play a lot older routine worked for Naughty Sex Kitten and Margaret in the 1960s. And Shannon has felt as naturally inclined to wriggle into the snug sweater role of her predecessor. Jeez, why are you shading Anne Margaret? In describing her mood in front of the camera, Shannon related how much she enjoyed manipulating this type of part, as it were. I like to play a good girl, then turn nasty all of a sudden. I like conquering a scene. Okay, the end for now.
Oh, God. Next time on Again With This, DJ Q Claire de Looney, the Chancellor's daughter, throws herself at Brandon, Andrea throws a fit when she finds Muntz fucking in her room, and the script throws up its hands and goes with more dog stuff for Brenda when it can't think of any other ways to burn off Shannon Doherty's contract. You'll want to burn off your corny eye when you see our visual aids for this episode and all the other episodes of Again With This on our website. That's at previously.tv. You can follow us on Twitter at Previously TV. I'm Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My sparkly co-host Tari Ariano is on Twitter at Tari Ariano. And our essential producer, David T. Cole, may be found on Instagram at Glark. See you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoonie.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.